Wild Talk Radio Network.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
It's Sunday night. You know what that means. It's WTR Sunday night. Wrestle Talk Radio Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I am the producer, Sir Rockin, joined by the intern.
I just realized you made me Jericho in the intro. Are you calling me fat?
That wasn't the intention?
Uh-huh.
I like how after 3 weeks you realized you were Jericho in the intro.
Shut up.
Keishi's not here this week, but Tim Stein is.
Kind of surprised you didn't call him a trashy, skanky, trash bag hoe.
That didn't fit the theme.
I was kind of directing that to Brett.
No, Rock's not a hoe. He gets paid for what he does.
That's what a hoe is, idiot. Sluts do it for free. Just saying.
So does that mean he's going to go on later to win championships and be a Hall of Famer like Victoria?
Maybe. Don't pick on Victoria.
I'm not. She made a very good career starting from that level.
Don't make fun of her.
The Rec has already won multi-time awards, so we've already won the award. So second, right?
You still have some time that you can win more. Cement that Hall of Fame legacy.
I had a question to ask you, Rock, and I can't remember what it was.
Okay, good.
Hey, Rock, I have a question. How'd the Eagles do?
They lost on Thursday. We've already been through this. There's a whole show dedicated to that because it was live and you heard my reaction.
That happened on Thursday, Brent. Keep up. That's
all
news.
I know what he wants to do. I'm not feeding into him.
I just know what happened today.
I'm not feeding into him.
Anyway. We are fast approaching Halloween, boys and girls. And this time of the year, your television is inundated with horror movies. Not just one horror movie, but the entire franchise. You change the channel and you go from one franchise to another one, to another one, to another one. Lots of people marathon all of these things leading into Halloween, because it's fun to be scared. My question, Brent, is what is your go-to horror movie franchise?
See, that's the thing. I don't necessarily like horror movie franchises. Most of them, like Friday the 13th and Nightmare on Elm Street and, you know, Amityville Horror, all of those have overstayed their welcome by multiple films. I prefer, you know, movies that are like one shot that are really good. I would say if I had to choose a franchise that was interesting, probably the first three Paranormal Activities, because they were a different style than what you'd normally seen, and they were interesting. They weren't slashers. Fair
enough. Yeah, fair enough. You're talking about like never mind all the franchises. Like even if you pick just one movie that's in a franchise, you could go with that one. Or if you just want to skip some of the movies in the franchise, that's all right too. As far as franchises go, with the again skipping some of the movies, I think my go-to franchise has to be Halloween, the namesake.
I was going to say, which version?
Yeah.
Because you have the original version, then you have Rob Zombie taking over, and then there was that Halloween, or H20, that was just god-awful.
Halloween H20, and then basically the reboot, sort of, that came out just a few years ago. Mm-hmm. Halloween, and recently, recent release, it's like doing huge numbers at the box office right now. Just came released to theaters was Halloween Kills. Mm-hmm. And I saw Halloween Kills, and after a while, it all winds up being the same thing naturally. And this is, lays into what you were talking about. They've all overstayed their welcome. What's nice with Halloween is after they've released a couple of dogs, they've freshened it up. Rob Zombie's version of the original wasn't bad. He purposely made the sequel shitty because he didn't want to do a sequel, but the studio made him do it.
So you know that there is a sequel to Halloween Kills that's already greenlit and going to be released October 14th next year, right?
I did not realize that, but the news does not surprise me. Rock, do you have a go-to horror movie or franchise?
Not a single one.
Not a single one. Wow.
White Girls. White Girls is a horrible, scary movie.
Well, yeah, but for all the wrong reasons. Anyway, are you going to be checking out the Child's Play TV series?
No.
No.
I'm gonna watch the first one, and if it's good enough to bring me back to the second week, then I'll watch that. But if not, then forget it.
Didn't it already air?
Yeah, the first episode has already premiered, at least down here in the States.
Yeah, it's tomorrow up here.
Oh, okay.
If I remember correctly. Anyway, this is my memory working. So to the best of my memory, it's October the 18th.
Okay. Because I know it was after one of the wrestling. It was after one of the wrestling shows this week. I can't tell you which one. I've watched so many. Lord.
Was it after Dynamite?
No, that's Road to the Top.
You guys remember back in the 1990s, Chucky actually appeared in WCW.
Yeah, I know. And then people on the internet, well, for memes, wants the new Chucky to appear on NXT 2.0 and meet up with Ron Breaker because Steiner references.
Because everything old is new again, apparently.
So there you go. I don't generally watch the slasher movies. I'm into the psychological thrillers. You'll excuse the crudity, the mindfuck movies.
Yep, that's you.
The suspense.
Yeah, that's you in a nutshell, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. One movie that wasn't really all that traditional was the original The Omen. It's not that big a deal nowadays, but when it came out, holy Christ, pardon the pun, it was something else.
Well, yeah, you had the spawn of Satan walking around. Yeah, that will absolutely do it.
Yeah, man. Freaky ass shit, dude. But anyway, all the comic books and everything have turned all of the different sons of Satan into crusaders for good. So,
I mean, they had a TV show about that called Lucifer. So
that was fun. I enjoyed that series. It got worse and campier and cheesier with every episode. And it was so enjoyable.
So kind of like Supernatural.
Yeah, it kind of started.
It got goofy and campier and self-indulgent with every episode and season.
Well, it kind of turned into somewhat of a simile to the 1960s Batman TV show.
Well, the thing is it was originally written for 5 seasons, and then once they got to 5, they're like, wow, this is really doing well. Let's keep going. And that's when they kind of became self-referential and like,
well,
having the supernatural convention in the show.
You forget Fox canceled the series in season 4, and a Twitter campaign caused who was it? Netflix to pick it up.
No, it was CW that picked it up.
I'm pretty sure it went to Netflix, dude. Season 5 and season 6 went to Netflix, not CW.
Supernatural?
Oh no, I was talking Lucifer.
Oh, I was talking Supernatural.
Well, there you go. We're talking cross purposes. You know what's really funny? Here's what's really funny is we were both talking about different shows, but you wouldn't know it.
Clearly, neither one of you knew which show the other was talking about, clearly.
There you go. But anyway, Batman is the topic we'll be talking about in just a few seconds here. Officially, welcome to WTR Tonight, Russell Talk Radio. Tonight, we're going to be previewing Crown Jewel, so stick around for that one. Rock, did you put together a bumper?
For this segment, no, because let's see how it plays out first.
It plays out, and then if it's any good, then we'll figure out how to do a bumper.
Yeah, we're trying things.
That's fair enough.
Do you have a stopwatch?
I do, in fact. The one piece of thing I did put together is a 90-second thing ticked with a timer at the end. So we do have that. We have
power. So it actually buzzes at the end?
Yeah, we have a buzzer at the end.
Kind of like pardon the interruption?
Kind of well, like.
I'm still talking past that shit.
Can ask Rock what I said to him he gave me this idea.
Yeah, that was the whole idea. It's coming from them. And there's the bell.
That's not a buzzer.
Okay, Tony Reale.
I said I had something for at the end. Anyway.
Okay. Hi, everybody in the chat room.
So what we're doing tonight is, to start off, it's called Agree Disagree. They'll have 90 seconds per topic to debate it, why they, agree with it or disagree with the statement. And since Tim mentioned Batman, that's the first topic on the list. Michael Keaton is the best Batman, Tim.
Nope. Michael Keaton is not the best Batman. For my money, up until I see the Batman, I'm putting it on Christian Bale if you want to go for reality. Michael Keaton, don't get me wrong, he was great as Batman, but not as believable as Christian Bale. A lot of people are going to want to bring up Adam West, which is all fine and dandy. But as much fun as that TV series was, and it was a hell of a lot of fun to come running home from school and watch it on the afternoon programming that they had for the kids before dinner time. It was a little too cheesy and campy, and really did not do the original character in the comic book any favors at all. For my money, it's Christian Bale.
Right.
All right, here we go. Is Michael Keaton the best Batman for the Tim Burton universe? Yes, because Batman is made up of two very distinct different roles. There is Batman and there is Bruce Wayne. Michael Keaton as Batman worked fine. Michael Keaton as Bruce Wayne was about two steps away from, being picked up by the police for being the creepy guy who stared in people's windows. In terms of overall aspect, I would have to agree with Tim. I think Christian Bale was probably the best at incorporating both roles. He made a very credible Bruce Wayne. He was also fit enough and was able to have the look enough to be Batman, though he was the worst voice for Batman, and I think everyone can agree with that. But
I don't know what you're talking about.
You had your time.
the reason this topic was brought up, they released a new Batman trailer this week.
With Robert Pattinson as Batman.
That's his name. I was trying to remember what it was.
Did either one of you watch the trailer?
Yes. Fuck no.
What do you think of it, Tim?
The trailer has me intrigued. I want to see it. During his little tirade, Brent brought up the terrible voice. They released the teaser for the trailer like 48 hours before they released the actual full trailer. And it put Twitter on alert, on notice, and created one hell of a Twitter buzz. I don't know about Facebook or anything like that. I don't hang around Facebook that much anymore. But people were absolutely going Twitter ape shit because they heard Pattinson talking as the Batman in the teaser. And then the full trailer comes on, and all it ever did to me is solidify my desire to see this damn movie as soon as possible. Who are you? And of course, you're expecting him to do the standard reply. I'm Batman. No. Who are you? I'm Vengeance. And I'm like, okay, I'm in.
All right. Let's go to this next topic. A wrestling war is good for wrestling fans, Brent.
If this had said a wrestling war is good for business, I would say yes. For wrestling fans, I'm not so sure. The reason for that is because the fans, I'm trying to find the word here, fans can be very delusional at times. And I think we've seen that with them trying to create this war that we're currently in. They will only find whatever's good, and they will fault anyone who tries to bring up anything bad. Even if it's accurate, even if there is a basis for it, they will fault it. Do I agree with that? Absolutely not. I think both have good things. I think both have very bad things. In terms of the war, I think it's the best for business. It creates competition. It makes people have to rise to a level in order to stay with the other. But in terms of the fans, I don't necessarily know if manufacturing a war is the best thing.
Tim?
Well, nobody in this debate said anything about is a manufactured wrestling war good for the fans. Listen, if it causes the companies to put out a superior product, if it causes AEW to say, well, I'm going to do all of this stuff to make us stand out and be really good, and we'll attract these fans, WWE has no choice but to say, well, fuck, we got to raise our game again. You look back to the Monday Night Wars between WCW and WWE, and all it did was provide absolutely fantastic product at its height. WCW lost focus, and that's their downfall, ultimately, with mismanagement and such. Meanwhile, WWE kind of crossed the line on a few occasions, but got away from the 1980s circus that their product was. And pro wrestling, at least for a time, grew up. And it was all because of a wrestling war. Now, people are nostalgic for the Attitude Era and, oh, back when wrestling was good, blah, blah, blah. As far as you talking about the fans, Brent, damn, I had more to say.
Keep going.
Wait, I have a rebuttal when Tim is done.
Keep going, Tim.
Okay, then I'm going to keep going. The fact of the matter is, the advent of social media has increased the stupidity of a lot of fans and self-entitlement and the belief that they know better than people who have basically lived, breathed, and wrote the business. And that's one of my pet peeves. Some Joe or Jane doesn't get their way when they're watching it, and all of a sudden they're a freaking expert, and they know better than Tony Khan or Vince McMahon or whomever.
Scott D'Amore.
Oh, well, okay, him too.
Because his impact at your other company.
Yeah, but this, you know, my point is these guys know enough to present something that keeps people coming back no matter how much they complain about it. Oh, I'm going to cancel my subscription to Peacock and blah, blah, blah. And you're still there watching next fucking week. Shut up. Seriously. Realize that your expectations mean shit in the overall picture because you're not the only one watching the goddamn product. It's not just about you, for you. That rant being said, the fact of the matter is a wrestling war is good for fans because it improves the product.
I just have one question.
Okay.
Are we currently in a wrestling war right now?
Yes.
Are we, or is one company just appealing to its niche base? Because we have ratings that showcase that.
But that's what they're fighting over.
And during the Monday Night Wars, ratings were through the roof for both companies. The casual fans were turning in droves. Professional wrestling is a niche product to begin with. And when you can bring in the casual fan, your rating goes through. It increases. That causes your company to be worth more.
Okay, moving on to the next topic. Tim, the Seattle Kraken will win their division.
Oh, give me a break. No way in hell. The Seattle Kraken will be lucky to even get a sniff at the playoffs. They're not making the playoffs this year. They're going to be a competitive team. They're going to be a lot of fun to watch, but they are not going to be the Golden Knights. That was lightning in a bottle. And admittedly, honestly, it's something that Las Vegas desperately needed after the October that they had that season, that year. I'm not going to go into depth on that one, because it's been talked about to death. And that's what I'm, you know, saying as far as that goes. The Pacific Division, the division the Seattle Kraken play in, is also inhabited by the Vegas Golden Knights, the Calgary Flames, the Edmonton Oilers, the Vancouver Knuckleheads, and all the California teams. Write the California teams off. Don't expect to see San Jose, Anaheim, Los Angeles anywhere in near the playoff hunt this year. And as much as it hurts me to say, the winner of the Pacific Division, it's going to be a toss-up between Vegas and Edmonton. I've got Calgary pegged in third place, and that guarantees a playoff spot. Now, whoever gets a wild card, it could be Vancouver.
Will they win their division? No. However, could they make it as a wild card team? Possibly. It depends what the kind of run they want to do is, what kind of momentum they build up during the season. Started off, but I mean, they've got one of your boys as the captain, Tim. One of your boys.
Yeah, it was a sad day when they stole Mark Giordano from the Calgary Flames, Calgary Flames captain. Who, the defenseman who was named captain after the departure of Jerome Iginla, now named captain of the Seattle Kraken.
Couldn't they protect him though?
No.
Weren't you allowed to protect certain people on your roster?
Well, here's the thing. If they protected him, they had to expose the future of the franchise. Mark only had 1 year left on his contract. No guarantee that he would re-sign or avoid or ignore potential offers through free agency.
Well, to follow up on this, I think just because of the way the playoff formatting is set up, the fact that you have your three divisions and then you still have the two wild cards, Seattle could squeak in on this as a wild card, although expansion teams don't necessarily always have the best record in terms of advancing. It usually takes about 2 or 3 years to establish yourself. However, I do have to say Toronto will make the playoffs. Go Leafs.
And lose again in the first round like they always do.
All right.
At least they'll make it over your Flames, just saying.
No, the Flames are making the playoffs this year.
All right, and final topic. Pumpkin spice season, Brent, is the best season.
Oh, fuck off.
Thank
fuck
you.
Right off. No, I'm sorry. There is nothing that needs to be pumpkin spice. I don't care. It doesn't need to be limited to a freaking season. There's no reason for, you know, all of a sudden October hits and it's like, oh my God, it's PSL. No. Put your UGG boots away. Put your comfy sweaters back in the closet. Get your own damn pumpkin spice. Make your own latte. Save yourself $45 from Starbucks or however much you people want to spend on it. I don't care. Pumpkin is overrated. Plain and simple. Pumpkin spice is also overrated.
Tim?
Pumpkin spice belongs in a pie, period. Pumpkins? Meh. They're good for carving. Pumpkin spice? Get the fuck out of here with that shit already. I'm walking to store. Oh, I want a pumpkin spice latte, venti, please. No, I'm sorry. One of the problems I have with a place like Starbucks, they don't have coffee.
But you can get a refresher.
The second that you put all of this crap in coffee, it's not coffee. It's a soft drink.
Now, do you want that as a venti?
Coffee is Arabica. Coffee is Colombian. Coffee is Kona.
Is it murder free though?
Arabica, Colombian, and Kona.
And that was agree to disagree. We now transition to the all-time greatest.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoopsie freaking do!
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
Stop us now!
All right, we got Luna Vachon taking on Sensational Sherry Brent.
Oh, good. I don't have to sing for this debate. I'm so happy.
What, did you have to sing on Saturday?
Oh, I chose to sing on Saturday, and it was amazing.
Because in the end, Brent...
It doesn't even matter!
Okay, that wasn't so amazing. Holy shit, get back in the shower.
There was a whole debate for that for Songs of 2002. Yeah. In terms... God damn it. In terms of this, I'm going to go with Sensational Sherry. Luna Vachon came from, you know, the Vachon family. She was a very capable wrestler. She's very, very out there. If you saw any of the Dark Side of the Ring that was this week, you learned a lot about her.
Some of it you didn't want to know.
Yeah, but I would just say overall, Sherry was just a better character because Luna was Luna. Whether she was with the Oddities, whether she was herself, whether she was paired with, you know, any of the people that she was basically the same crazy character. Sherry had many different facets. When she was Sister Sherry, when she was paired with Robert Parker, when she was...
Scary Sherry.
With Macho Man, when she was with Shawn Michaels and had, the first cover of Sexy Boy.
That's still her voice at the beginning of every iteration of his entrance music.
And plus, just in general, she was a very sound performer. I don't think a lot of people realize that when she was doing her managing, but yeah, she was very capable inside the ring and had won championships before that. So, in short, Sensational Sherry.
Tim?
Can't really add all that much to what Brent just said. Luna was a bit of a lunatic at times. She had a character that fit very, very well into October, 12 months out of the year. But she wasn't as diverse as Sherry was. And overall, the personality that Sherry had in all of her different incarnations puts her over on this one.
Casey would chime in. Close call, felt she was more diverse, that being Sherry.
He would have actually recorded that so you could play an audio clip, that would have been better.
Well, he provided these answers. I didn't ask them.
I knew he was going to do it. I kept my mouth shut and didn't tell you.
Good. All right, Stephanie McMahon takes on Beulah McGillicuddy. Tim.
Oh, it's Stephanie. Say what you want about the McMahon family, and you love them or you hate them, whatever. But the entitled little princess bitch character that Stephanie McMahon is, that's, of course, naturally, that's not her in real life. People don't realize that. But she's got it absolutely perfect. And the fact that whenever she gets into that gear and her face always looks like she just sniffed her dad's farts, it's priceless. It's perfect. It's Stephanie all the way.
Brent.
I have a confession to make.
Oh, no. He's in love with Beulah.
No, it's honestly, being out here, growing up on the West Coast, I didn't get a lot of ECW growing up. So I don't necessarily have as much insight. I've been able to go back and watch stuff with Beulah, Francine, all of them, early Sunny. So I know of their work, but I'm not as much of like...
You're not as educated as you could be.
Right. I'm not... I didn't grow up with it as a lot of fans my age did. I appreciate Beulah from what I saw. Remind me, she's the one that fought Bill Alfonso in a hardcore match that Bill lost probably half of his blood in, correct?
Yes.
Watching that, I'm like, holy shit. Because generally she's not a fully trained performer, but she was pulling out some shit in that match that was good.
Yeah, she had a couple of stints up here in Stampede Wrestling.
So it's like, I appreciate that, but she always felt like the second piece of a relationship. Like, she always was paired with someone, and I understand that's the role of, like, a valet, but at times, like, when there's Sherry can bring something to it. I always felt Beulah was, no offense, kind of there from what I've seen, whereas Stephanie McMahon has had this arc her entire career of starting off as the innocent girl who got brought into all of this, test, Dark Wedding, all of that, into getting roofied and married to Triple H, to the McMahon-Helmsley era, to becoming the billion-dollar princess and the authority. So yeah, I've got to go Stephanie.
In case you went Stephanie as well, longevity, character, diversity.
Can't fault that.
Oh, look at him using bullet points.
Right? Medusa takes on Mae Young. Brent.
Oh. I know Alundra was already on here, but I always think of them as essentially the same because it is. I'll go Mae on this. She's had the long storied career. She had her early stuff, then she had the stuff with Mark Henry. She got put through a table in her 70s by Bubba
Thank
Ray.
Thank you for bringing that up, because I would have if you didn't.
Still taking bumps like that. Medusa, when she was in WCW, I think she was hindered by the fact that when she went back to WCW, they didn't have the women's division they promised her. And so that just had her in a very long holding pattern that just didn't do anything for her.
Okay, Tim?
Mae Young.
Guess you're not going to add anything to that. Okay. In case you went Mae Young, always seemed up for anything during time in WWE, one of the pioneers of women's wrestling. Honorable mention of Medusa for driving a monster truck.
That's Medusa's claim to fame, is driving a monster truck. Mm-hmm.
AJ Lee versus Beth Phoenix. Tim.
Oh, shit. As much fun as we had with AJ Lee, my pick is Beth Phoenix. The character was just, she was the her era's replacement for China, essentially, more or less. As far as personality, like wrestling character goes, to me, she's got the edge over AJ.
Brent?
I'm going to go AJ Lee. I think if we're talking overall character, AJ has that in spades. From when she was a regular, when she was just a regular girl, to when she embraced the crazy and did the Love Bites gimmick and was paired with Daniel, Kane, CM Punk, became the Raw GM. I'm not faulting Beth at all. I think she's a fantastic performer, and we've started to see more of her personality now that she's gone to commentary. But I think when she was a performer in ring, there wasn't as much, add to the character as there could have been that would have moved her forward, in my opinion.
Morning. Right, the censor's coming in, apparently. to break time, in case you went, Beth Phoenix. I can easily recall different things she did character-wise. Can only remember AJ's heel run.
You just called that a break tie.
Huh?
Yeah, you said break tying.
I said break the tie. That's what I said. Anyway.
You said break tying. You said break tying.
Okay, whatever. So that's what we're
going to say. You meant to say break the tie.
Okay. So that's where we're going to leave.
Brick-a-brack.
That's where we're going to leave the all-time greatest. We're going to transition now to Crown Jewel, which takes place this Thursday from Saudi Arabia. Noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. Only on the Saudi Peacock Aruba. And the WWE Network. What?
What?
Well, what did you say, Tim?
I said Saudi Aruba.
Saudi Aruba. Okay. So we're going to kick it what? Up. We're going to kick it off with Mansoor taking on Mustafa Ali.
Thoughts? You knew this would get set up.
How?
Oh, you just did. Just by the way they did, handled it on Raw.
Well, yeah, they kind of broke up the team on Raw, so it's kind of an easy setup. But why did they break up the team? What was the reason behind it?
Because they could give Mansoor a credible win over Mustafa Ali in Saudi Arabia. Yeah, I went there.
I mean, that's kind of the deal.
Hometown boy makes good, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of how it goes. So I take it you're leaning Mansoor on this one?
Yeah, that plus points.
That and plus points. Brent, what do you think?
We all know this show is organized, semi-steered by the crown family of Saudi Arabia, right?
Mm-hmm.
And with that, we know that Mansoor is their boy. You know, Saudi's own, their first performer. We've seen in the past that Mansoor has gone over at these shows. That's not necessarily a problem. And recently, he has been featured on Raw, which means him coming over to Crown Jewel has raised his stake a little. That being said, do I think that this is eventually going to lead to Mansoor winning a title in Saudi Arabia? No, because at some point WWE steps in and goes, guys, we have to at least have some storyline here. In this case, though, it gives you a reason to have Mansoor fighting on the show rather than just, hey, we're going to pair him up with Cesaro. When it comes to the match, yeah, right now, Mustafa Ali can still take a loss. It's not going to hurt him. I mean, I don't think anything can hurt him more than the retribution angle. But yeah, I'm going to go Mansoor on this. He can get the win. It can set the Saudis up to be happy, and it's not going to hurt anything storyline wise. In fact, Mustafa will probably come back over on the next Raw and beat him to set up, you know, Survivor Series or something if you want to have them on opposing teams or whatever.
Okay, it's Hell in a Cell, Edge and Seth Rollins. Brent, what do you think?
Someone's going to die in this match. Someone is not going to be walking back from Saudi Arabia, and I believe that man is Seth freaking Rollins. Look, I love Seth, you know, arrogant character, his messiah, his, you know, king of the drip. It's great. His costumes are amazing. However, I also think you do not walk into Edge's house, because if Edge doesn't kill you, the second you step out of that cage, Beth is going to be waiting for you. She'll throw you back into the cage, and you now have another match to go on at Crown Jewel. I think this feud in general has been really good. It's taken what was just a general match and feud and kind of elevated it. It's made it personal, which, of course, you want to see because it draws you in emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for this, I've got to give it to Edge, because we saw Rollins. Rollins had Edge taken out on a stretcher. I think Edge needs to get something back. And again, it doesn't hurt Seth to take a loss here, especially when Edge can get retribution.
But the reason Seth Rollins and Edge are continuing to fight is because Seth Rollins had the obsession, which led to the Madison Square Garden match. So does Seth Rollins losing end the obsession?
Does it end the obsession? No. But you can always have that obsession lingering in the back, because Seth moving to Raw can have his focus being back on the title, because that's where the obsession hit, was that he felt Edge stole his chance at the title.
But Edge is also on Raw.
I understand. And even if Edge beats Seth, we've seen it doesn't necessarily mean Edge is getting a title shot, but Seth can weasel his way into getting a shot at Big E, because E needs credible heels, and I don't think you want to turn Edge yet, especially against someone like Big E.
All right, Tim, what are you thinking?
Well, did Edge not win at the last pay-per-view?
He won at SummerSlam, and then Rollins won at Madison Square Garden on SmackDown.
Where Edge was stretchered out.
But that was on SmackDown.
At the world's most famous arena. I mean, they're making it a point.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's still...
It was Here's a super SmackDown.
Yeah, it was really super. Here's the thing. This is essentially the old guard versus the new guard. At some point, Edge is going to do the job, and the job is to eventually pass the torch to Seth. Does it mean that Edge is done with wrestling? That you stop and you think about it. These guys are both of them somewhat similar as far as their style personalities are. Now, I'm not talking about their characters. They're very different people character-wise. But wrestling has a personality of a separate personality on its own from the character. And your wrestling style, your wrestling personality style. And these two guys are somewhat similar. Yeah, Edge getting stretchered out does not necessarily mean that it's his turn to win at the next big event. Next big event being Thursday in Saudi Arabia. Yeah, I just, you know, like Brent, you were talking, they both moved to Raw. Now Rollins can focus on Big E and going from there on, and being a credible foil to help make Big E look like a more credible champion. That being said, I can see Edge taking the loss here. And it's not going to hurt Edge. One bit.
Okay, so you both are split on that one. All right, good. Good to see that we're not just on the same page pick-em-wise. Maybe we will for the next one. It's King of the Ring.
We don't always do that.
Majority. King of the Ring finals. Finn Balor either takes on Xavier Woods or Jinder Mahal. Tim?
Oh, I'm going Finn Balor 100% all the way with this one. This has got to be the receipt due Finn for what he did at whatchamacallit. Extremely stupid rules.
Not so extreme rules, yeah. There's more
extremely stupid rules.
There are more extreme matches on this show.
There are more extreme matches on the Raw following Extreme Rules.
There are more extreme matches on Match.com. Wait a minute. No, that's Tinder.
So you're nobody? You're going Finn.
Yeah, I'm going Finn.
Bryant.
Okay. There's only one real answer here. Tim, I get what you're saying about Finn Balor. That's fine. However, there is a hashtag that has been going for, what, 2 years now, Rock? That someone has self-promoted.
Mm-hmm.
And by God, he is, I want to say, one of the reasons why we're getting this King of the Ring tournament. And it all starts tomorrow night when he beats Jinder Mahal. He's the only singles person, he's the only person in the New Day without any kind of singles recognition. You have had Kofi as a world champion. You've had Big E as Intercontinental Champion and now the WWE Champion. It is time to give your boy, Xavier Woods, the King of the Ring title. Especially because even if Balor wins, it's a great accolade for him. If Woods wins this, you can get cross-promotion for it starting next month. Because as of November, G4 starts up on cable. And everyone knows Xavier Woods was one of the first people tapped as a host on the new channel. So if Xavier's over there, he can be King Woods. And it works so beautifully. My pick, I've got to go Xavier Woods.
Okay. It's the Queen's Crown Finals. Zelina Vega takes on either Shayna Baszler or Doudrop, right?
I'm torn between two different things. I think Zelina with the crown would be great for her character because you already see her like cosplaying with these ornate crowns. And I think she could absolutely do so many things with that. I think she would be like a Baron Corbin style, just obnoxious Queen's Crown winner. And that, I think, could do great things for her. However, they've also been pushing someone recently, and if you do it a certain way, I see someone winning this, but almost pulling a Steve Austin style, where if she wins, she just chucks the crown, doesn't give a rip. It's all just about winning the tournament and proving that she's just that damn good and is going to hurt anyone who gets in her way, and that's Shayna. Doudrop is someone perfect for her to face in her match to get to the finals because everyone loves Doudrop. You know, when she walks to the ring, she just has that entrance where everyone is so happy and they're so, you know, they're so excited to see her. And that's why you have Shayna just come out and just rip into her and leave her laying and just walk away like, whatever, don't care. And she can just lay Zelina out. And again, like I said, just like take the crown, chuck it aside, be like, I don't need that. I know I'm the best, and just walk away. So I'm going to go Baszler wins here.
Tim?
I am not going to go into any over speculated in-depth analysis on this one. I think that their entire plan this whole time since she came back is to put Zelina Vega in the spotlight, at least temporarily, somehow. And I just get the feeling she's winning this. So I'm picking Zelina. Don't want to, but gotta go with your gut sometimes.
Sometimes you gotta go with your gut. And sometimes you gotta talk about a contractual obligation.
We have
Bobby Lashley versus contractual obligation.
No holds barred. Tim.
Of course, we're talking about Goldberg and Bobby. I expect to see another flub match. And because they took the title off him to protect the title and make sure that contractual obligations doesn't get the title right now, I see Goldberg beating Bobby and setting up a rematch back in North America.
I don't want to see another match with these guys. I know he's working the Saudi match because he gets paid extra. He gets paid cash for this, I think. This is no rules because we all know they need no rules to keep this match going. This is like the when Hunter steps in the ring, every match he has is essentially no disqualification. Why? Because they can put bells and whistles on it. So it doesn't have to be a 25-minute wrestling clinic because we all know Goldberg can't even go 5 minutes in a wrestling clinic. This is, they're trying to make this the emotional aspect that we saw with Edge and Rollins. The only problem is No one gives a rip about Goldberg. We saw that at SummerSlam. They painted the, as Rock talked about, you know, in the recap of that match, they booked it perfectly in a face heel. The problem is the fans turned who was the face and who was the heel in that match.
Not only that, that match, Goldberg so phoned it in and screwed things up.
I don't think he phoned it in. I think it's just he can't really go. Is he jacked? Yes. But can he wrestle anymore? No. He goes out there, he can hit about two or three moves, and that's what he's good for. That's the problem. And they still think the name Goldberg is what draws everyone in to watch. But the thing is now when you hear Goldberg, you expect car wreck. And that's not what it's supposed to be.
So that's the new chant when he comes out. Car wreck. Car wreck.
Honestly, I hate to say this. If you don't want Goldberg around anymore, don't say anything.
The worst reaction for a wrestling promoter is no reaction.
Because, I mean, Bobby can get cheered. That's great. But if Goldberg does something and it's crickets, then you know, oh, they don't care about him. And then maybe they won't bring him back. As Rock said, it's contractual obligation at this point. It's the fact that they have a contract and they're like, well, we need to use them twice a year. Now?
Yeah, well, the shine has fallen off that penny a long time ago.
The problem with all of this is because it is the Saudi show, that puts Goldberg on it. I don't know if it has an effect on who should win it. I don't know if they go, in this case, we want to see Goldberg win. Because they might be thinking it's, you know, 2000s WCW. I want to say Bobby wins just to keep him relevant. Because I think if Goldberg wins, because it's Saudi, it's fine. But at the same time, I think most of the shows post-Saudi have Big E facing Bobby. And you don't want it to be, oh, Bobby just lost to Goldberg. Well, Big E's going to easily win here. There should be at least some aspect of like, well, Bobby could win against E, and I think he needs to beat Goldberg here in a no rules match to be like, okay, he's still the almighty.
Okay. The Raw tag team titles are on the line. RK Bro defends against AJ Styles and Omos.
There's one thing I want to see here. They've been teasing it the entire time. I want an RKO on Omos in Saudi. I don't know how you set it up. I don't know if you have Orton jump off the top rope and try and deliver it. Because I don't know how well Omos bumps. We've seen it. The reason they were trying to they tried to break them up, but I guess someone came along and was like, no, 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 he ain't ready yet. Maybe it was AJ who said it. But I still think there's some tread on the tires for RK-Bro. You could always still have the Randys looking at Riddle and kind of like, God, why am I with this idiot? And then he looks down at his waist and he's like, oh yes, because of this. We're still tied together. And I don't think AJ and Omos need the belts right now. If anything, you can move them on. You can have AJ go back to being a single and have Omos as his muscle again. They don't need to be a tag team for that. With RK-Bro, you could have them lose to the Street Profits, and I don't think that's going to be bad. In this case, I think RK-Bro still needs to win.
Tim?
Well, when was Randy cleared?
I mean, he's been back whenever he was out a week. Mm-hmm. It's not like he hasn't been cleared.
I was just curious. Just out of curiosity, because I don't remember when. Anyway, yeah, that those titles are staying around RK-Bro's waist for a little bit longer. The whole thing, trying to give Omos, the RKO, they've teased it. They actually, built a pay-per-view match back in the day between Goldberg and Jericho, in WWE, teasing the spear. Will Jericho finally, get speared? If you remember, for almost a month, they, set it up so that he conveniently avoided the spear at all time, which added to the whole thing for the pay-per-view match. Is it going to finally happen? And this is an old ploy and an old tactic used by WWE going all the way back to, is Hogan finally going to slam Andre? Well, it happened at the pay-per-view. They teased it, then they delivered. This is old school booking. They're teasing it. Will they deliver in Saudi? I think we see Omos take an RKO at Crown Jewel and RK Bro retain.
The WWE titles on the line. Big E, Drew McIntyre, Tim.
This is going to be fun. Two big guys who can actually put on a great match. Two big guys who can actually who have actually more than five moves in their repertoire. I'm going to just say right now, this is going to be the match on this card, along with Edge and Seth. Those are the two matches you're going to want to tune in for out of this entire card. Big E retains. Big E wins. Drew winds up putting him over. This will be Drew's Drew's doing the job to the champion before he leaves the brand.
Brent?
Rock, you introduced this incorrectly. As we learned on Monday, it's Big E taking on Big D, at which Big E had the greatest facial reaction of like, oh, about that.
That was 2 weeks ago. This week, Big E mentioned his nipples, and Drew was like, what?
But in terms of this, like Tim said, it's going to be a good match. It's going to be an interesting dynamic of having Drew as a face taking on Big E, even though we saw Drew lay out the claymore, because he still has to show his intent for the title and show that he's serious, but he also respects Big E, and I think they'll go out, they'll put on a good match. We know Drew is jumping over to SmackDown. I don't think they're going to throw a swerve here and have him win this title to stay on Raw for a bit, when I think something else is going to happen towards the end of the night that may set some stuff up. In this, I'll say Big E and Drew have a good match. Big E wins. Drew shakes his hand, though he is a little miffed, we'll say. And we could set up for next month seeing Big E as part of the main event picture at Survivor Series, as we've seen for the past couple of years.
Okay, SmackDown Women's titles on the line. Becky Lynch, Bianca Belair, and Sasha Banks, Brent.
Brock, you got into my head.
How?
You son of a... When we talked yesterday and you threw out a scenario, the more I'm thinking of it, the more I'm like, that actually really works.
It does. It's so convoluted, the way it has to go down. I talked about it on Thursday, but it works.
So you've got two people here that are going on one brand and one going to another.
Yes.
The one person going to the other brand is fighting for that title.
Yes. While you have the other champion already on the other brand.
Mm-hmm. And she is fighting someone Monday night that's in this match.
Bianca Belair.
The scenario you threw out just actually works in my head. It works, and I hate you for it.
It's very logical, but it's complicated.
It's complicated, but it makes sense here, especially for the fact of you had her beat Becky on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
So you've shown the man is flawed in some sense. She's not this unstoppable machine.
That was the first time she's lost in a singles match in 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Or something like that.
And something like that can play into her head, because she's been Becky big time. She's, you know, since she came back, she's been unstoppable. She's been unchallenged. I mean, not saying that Bianca isn't a suitable challenger for her, but Becky's just had the confidence of like, you know, I beat you, and then you had Sasha interfere, which saved the belt for her. But Sasha winning here makes sense, because it is the SmackDown title, so it needs to stay on SmackDown. Unless you do the thing where, like they did with New Day and Street Profits, where they just hand the belts over to the other champion, which feels really lackluster in that respect. It's kind of lame of like, oh, look, I mean, technically you have these belts, but we're just going to give you the other set because you changed brands. Yay. I want someone to get that belt who earned it. And so I think Sasha winning here earns it. Plus, I mean, you've got stuff that you can pump with Sasha. I mean, she has projects. So her as a champion isn't a bad thing. And plus her on SmackDown with the belt sets up a feud with someone else who's already on that brand carrying a belt that's not theirs. So yeah, in this case, I think I'm going to go Sasha here.
So just for reason's sake, I thought that convoluted thing before they announced the match on Monday. So that was like the first that hurdle had to be crossed. They had to actually announce that match, and they did, which would be Bianca and Charlotte for the title. Tim, what do you think?
I think that you guys should stop thinking that WWE is going to, like, be logical and make sense.
Oh, I know they won't. I went on a 15-minute rant, like, trying to figure this whole thing out. Also, I say they should just drop the name SmackDown and Raw from the titles and once World and once Universal. It would make everything easier.
It would make life easier. Becky's going to Raw. Mm-hmm. Bianca Belair is going to Raw.
Mm-hmm.
That keeps that feud alive. Sasha stays on SmackDown. Sasha will wind up in a feud with Charlotte. That'll happen. Not like we've never seen that before, but maybe they'll finally put Sasha over Charlotte at a pay-per-view eventually.
Well, they got a long time before they can wrestle on pay-per-view, but yeah.
They can set it up eventually for that eventual payoff. That's the most logic I will grant WWE.
No, the point about the pay-per-view was there is no December pay-per-view. It's January 1st, the pay-per-view.
Yeah. Yes. I never mentioned a month, however.
I'm just putting out a fact.
I'm just going to put this out there. If you have Sasha win here, and let's say, for example, Bianca wins the Raw belt as part of your storyline, Rock.
Mm-hmm.
What would that make the Survivor Series match?
Bianca and Sasha.
What match did we never get that people want to see and are craving?
Bianca and Sasha, the WrestleMania rematch. You could also set it up with Sasha being Bianca in this one, saving Becky Lynch from not dropping title so she can, you know, say she was never beat for the title and have her own little thing. So you could do Sasha-Bianca, the rematch, with Stace.
And then you have Sasha holding it over Bianca's head. I beat you for this belt.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, it's a 1-1 with the rubber match being Survivor Series for Pride.
Which Bianca would assume go over. But who are you going with, him? You're going with Sasha?
I'm going with Becky.
You're going with Becky?
Yeah.
Despite all the logic we threw out there?
Exactly. Despite all the logic, I'm thinking like a WWE booking team right now. And they're going to keep the title on the man. And then we're going to see the two champions switch titles.
That is such an awful visual, though, especially if it's Becky and Charlotte just handing title over.
That's what happened last time they did this shit.
I know, and it was so poorly received that
they're
going to
do it again and see if it was a fluke.
No.
It's going to happen. You know what's going to happen. Choose who you want, and it's wishful thinking. Becky's not losing.
Oh, yeah. Then it's the Universal Championship on the line, Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar.
How many days, Rock?
Weird, 400 plus days.
How many days left to beat?
To get rid of Punk, it's like less than, probably I think today it's 413. We probably have 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks.
I think it was the day before Survivor Series. So if he has the belt now, in theory, if he's going to Survivor Series, unless they do the wonky change just before, if Roman wins here, he's probably carrying it to Survivor Series, which means he will own the record.
And then
drop it at Survivor Series to somebody.
He won't drop it because it's champion versus champion in a non-title match.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Survivor Series.
Yeah. So he's
got that title till
day one.
Yeah, day one, which is the end of December, beginning of January.
Even though they were mentioning Brock had a title reign over 500 days, so that's a number they were throwing out as well. So who you got? Kind of this one, Tim.
Oh, that's a tough one. This is one of the very few times I want to see Brock Lesnar actually win. And never mind all this acknowledge me bullshit and stuff like that. Does Roman need to still hold the title, or is it time for him to do something different and put two new people in the title picture? I've already put out a speculation there that they might pull off a thing where Brock and Drew finally meet at WrestleMania in front of a live crowd. Was that just last week?
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit. And I'm still leaning towards that because, to tell you the truth, I kind of want to see Brock and Drew in front of a live crowd. I mean, all of the shit went down with COVID and all of that right before the main push with Drew. I mean, it had just started and then shit got all buggered up and messed up. and screwed up and screwed around and screwed over. And we were positive that they were going to give Drew that moment in the spotlight last year, WrestleMania with Bobby Lashley. And I'm just thinking, you know, it didn't happen. So down the road, let's do that and then have that big pop for Drew. But I'm really hard pressed to pick either one of these guys in this match. I'm leaning towards Brock just because of my thinking with the whole thing, because if he doesn't win the title here, they've got a very short window for him to actually grab it and be Brock with the title before WrestleMania. Is that a big enough window?
4 months?
If they let Roman carry the belt for the next, you know, like until, you know, beginning of January, then all of a sudden it's not, it's like 3 months, right?
Yeah, I guess 3 months.
2 months and change. Depending on what days are WrestleMania next year?
WrestleMania is going to be a 2-day event, probably the first weekend in April.
I said what days are.
I don't know off the top of my head.
It's Saturday, April 2nd, Sunday, April 3rd.
Okay, so they missed April Fool's Day.
Well, that'll be a SmackDown. Ha ha.
So, all right, with this one, I gotta bite my tongue and bite the bullet and say Roman retains. It actually, because if you go back remembering all the hard time he had beating Brock Lesnar previously when he was a babyface, mm-hmm. Brock is actually going into this match on Thursday as the babyface, which is so weird to say.
All right, so you're going Roman. After all that, you're going Roman.
Against everything that I believe in, I'm picking Roman.
So I had the same hard time trying to figure this out, which my answer was Roman Reigns via disqualification.
There you go. Roman Reigns via Paul Heyman.
It is the battle for Paul Heyman's love, by the way.
I mean, now you stop and you think about it. Is this Universal Championship match Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar, or is this championship match Paul Heyman?
You know what I mean. Mm-hmm. The best line on SmackDown was when they were doing the contract signing. You know, Roman called him a fool for not reading over the contract or signing it. It's like, yeah, I went over it with my advocate, Paul Heyman, this morning.
And the look on Paul's face and Roman's face were amazing.
It's tremendous.
Paul had the look in the headlights and Roman had the, you motherfucker look.
Brock Lesnar screwing with him has been great content.
It's great because Roman has had the whole like air of confidence the whole time, and like, you know, I'm the tribal chief. You know, you're my special advisor.
You're my wise man.
Right. You're the guy that I just have do this. And it's like Brock has known how to fuck with him mentally that no one else has. Because it's like Kevin was just persistent when he fought Roman. It was just that guy that was like, God damn it, go away.
And you don't expect mind games coming from Brock Lesnar.
Right. And it's like Cesaro was just perfect. Cesaro was the guy who finally got his opportunity. And then, you know, Finn was there. But there's always been the aspect of like, has anyone really screwed with Roman? And Brock is the one guy who can, because Brock can honestly look at him and go, I've kicked your ass so many times, I can't count. And now that Paul is there as part of the equation, it's just this great aspect of like, you know, yeah, Paul and me go way back, and Roman has to sit there the whole time and is like, am I going to get fucked? Is this what's going to happen?
And it's the rematch of the two guys that have legitimately beaten beaten Undertaker at Mania.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, something that hasn't been played up, but has been very subtle.
They're the two actual titans in the wrestling world right now. Legitimate titan. However, when it comes to this match, this is only part one. Part two, I think, comes in April. That's what
I'm starting to feel my pain.
See, what I think is going to happen, I don't want it to be this, but I can see it playing out this way. And I'm not faulting anyone for it. It's just, if you want to carry this forward and you want to give it a storyline and you want to do all of these things, because we've seen when it comes to Saudi, we've seen when it comes to stuff, you can have a little bit of a weird finish because you can carry a story forward. That's what happened with, I believe, Brock and Roman and, was it Big Show or Braun in the cage match?
I don't remember.
What I see happening is the following. So you're getting towards the end of the match. You have Paul Heyman, who's been playing the damsel in distress in the middle of all of this. He finally plants his allegiance, what it's always been in this storyline, and he fucks Brock Lesnar. He does something to distract him, or he makes it look like I'm going to help you, and then at the last second, he gets Brock's attention. Roman will, like, either apply the guillotine and knock him out, or something will happen where he'll distract the ref and the Usos will hit him enough to where Roman can get the win. But it's just mussed up enough, and Brock has the reason to try and, you know, want to kill Paul Heyman, that gives you one of your Mania events. One of your Mania main events can be Brock versus Roman on the big stage. Let him try to annihilate him. Now, during that point, can Roman drop the belt to get and then win it back just to, you know, set up Mania? Sure. I don't think Brock is going to win the title here. He could. It would be absolutely credible. I just don't think they're going to keep Brock around for that. I think they'll have him just kind of lingering in the back. And also, if you do want to happen to have Brock versus Drew, like I said, or I'm sorry, Roman versus Drew, you can always have Brock maybe face Gable and have two hosses have a very technical match on the grandest stage of them all. But for this, I'll go Reigns. I don't think it's going to be the cleanest win. He'll get out by the skin of his teeth, and it can set up. If you want to do Roman versus Drew, you can do that at either day one or at Royal Rumble, because we know that they like to have a big title match as part of that.
So that's Crown Jewel. Go to facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork tomorrow night. We'll put out the card after Raw, and you can make your picks for Thursday. That's our show.
That's another edition of Wrestle Talk Radio WTR Sunday night. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Don't forget, our next webcast will review what we just previewed. So we'll find out just how badly we did and how badly they booked everything and all that other fun stuff. But in the meantime and in between time, don't forget tomorrow immediately following Raw is the post show.
Raw post show live 11 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, and of course, Thursday night, it's the return of the multi-time, multi-award-winning The Rack Radio Show with the lovely Lindsay Ward. And the lovely... No, forget it. Just Sir Rockin'.
We will review Crown Jewel hours after it airs on the WWE Network and Peacock on The Rack Live, 10 p.m. Eastern.
There you go. And of course, Saturday night, midnight-ish, or as close as I get to it, another edition of the Wild, Wacky, Unusual... home of the greater than this debate, CB Radio.
Called the Greater Than Great Debate. Thank you very much. GreaterThanGreatDebate.com, CBRadioLive.com, CB Radio every Saturday night, midnight-ish. We also have the intern's corner on that, and sometimes Brent decides to just sing, even though it doesn't really matter.
Well, as long as he doesn't go into business for himself.
In the end, it doesn't even matter.
I was waiting for that. Also, go. He did that for multiple songs. It hurts. Brent, you can check the archive available tomorrow at CBRadioLive.com.
My sacrifice.
Keep going,
wow.
Tim.
Who sings that song, My Sacrifice?
Creed.
Okay, let them do it, because you don't do it justice.
As mentioned, WTR Sunday Night will be live next Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. It's WTR Sunday Night on Facebook and Twitter. It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Brent, you're on the socials?
Yeah, you can find me making friends on the internet at KKittens on Twitter. Yeah, no, I apparently make a lot of friends with a certain company because I decide to, you know, bring up things.
Oh, so you are a whore.
That's what they're calling me.
No, he's just good, not he's just not elite.
He's not elite.
But I am knowledgeable, as we learned last night with Team Knowledgeable as part of the AEW draft.
Exactly.
Yeah, what do you know?
Yeah, right. I am paired with jobbers, so.
Yeah, so, Tim, you're on the socials. Where can they find you?
Yeah, for everything pro wrestling and NHL and, you know, football related and dad jokes and random thoughts and stuff like that, follow me at Flames Forums. If you want to see all the latest handyman work that I have been contracted to do and have done, then you can follow me at Tim's_toolbox.
All right, time to wrap it up, Tim.
Say what?
Wrap up the show.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't listening. I stopped paying attention right after you said we need a plan. Have yourselves a great week, everybody. We'll catch you next Sunday night, 10 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Mountain, for another edition of WTR Sunday Night. We'll be right back.